This is Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for joining me. Folk artist Joel Mavis, a man of many talents, songwriting, guitar playing, banjo picking, storytelling, has a new album that debuted this summer and will be available at his CD release concert set for Saturday, September 23rd at the First Baptist Church of Kalamazoo starting at 8 p.m. This new collection of songs and instrumentals is an exploration of hymns through the ages, although Joel says he's not here to preach to anybody. He calls it different hymnals. To say just before we get into any more of it that the album as a whole has a great flow to it, and I'm sorry that we'll have to cherry pick here and there for the purposes of our preview, but as an experience from beginning to end, I find you have placed things in a dramatic order.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I pay a lot of attention to that in my albums. I'm old-fashioned that I think an album goes from start to finish, and it isn't just a bucket of tunes, which a lot of people who put out albums just kind of think that way. Just let's put in, we can put in 10. No, put in 11. That's a good number. And then just chop it off. And I think about what has to start the experience, what's a good way to end it, what flows from one to another. And I guess that comes from my many years on stage, where I think about what's a good next song to do, not just what's a good song I want to do next, what's a good song to be heard next. And of course, I did have instrumentals in this, and I don't want to put five instrumentals together and then five singing songs together. So there's just the mechanics of spreading the brownies out on the plate in the right way. But thank you for that. I'm glad you that's something you noticed, because I put a lot of thought into it. Many of my albums, I would have a song that I really loved, but it just didn't fit. Yeah, I couldn't find a place to make it fit. And sometimes that song that didn't fit found a place on a later album. And sometimes it just never found a place at all. And but I was never really sorry that a song wasn't on there. Some of my early things, I had a song on here or there that I thought, well, I just as well have skipped that one. But you live and learn.
In exchange for your soul, let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Let it shine, let it shine. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Let it shine, let it shine. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me.
We've talked about this before, and you've said that generally you try to catch the whole performance in one go.
Yeah.
Still, my ears want to tell me that you overdub, because there's the bass lines and the guitar riffing and singing. And
there actually was no overdubbing in that proper sense. There was some editing. I recorded this here in Kalamazoo with Ian Gorman, and we recorded the whole album in 2 days. I would record the song straight through. This is the way I play it. Me and my guitar, whichever guitar it was, my Spanish-tuned guitar or the Sebastopol slide guitar, and would just do the whole thing through. And I would immediately say, if I was happy with the take, let's listen to it. Or I'd say, let's do another one right now. So it was editing, but there was no overdubbing. There wasn't any punching in of this or an overlayment of doing a second track. All that all that guitar music is all played all at the same time with my little fingers. My secret sauce, in case anyone wants to know my secret sauce, is I played each of these songs at my home studio in my basement, not recorded, just playing them probably a couple of hundred times to get it just the way I wanted to do it before I took it to the studio. That's my secret sauce, because I know a lot of folks who don't do that. They'll play a song when they half know it, and they'll record it when they half know it, and then decide, oh, that didn't sound like I think it sounds in my head.
or it gets better later.
And then have to fix it or put something on top of it. Believe me, I've been there, done that. I found that know your song well before you start singing, as Bob Dylan once said, is to work out the kinks before you're going to record it. And once in a while, you have to say, you know, what I thought I was doing right, I'm going to do a little different in the studio. But I pretty much had it planned out, and I knew the order of the songs before I went to record them too. So I knew how one song would end, and then the next song shouldn't start with that same riff or business, because as I thought it out ahead of time, that's my secret sauce, is to be prepared.
Liner notes, Joel, you talk about how sometimes the tune of the song and the words to the song started in completely different places. And even the pure instrumental tracks have really interesting stories behind them. Maybe you could talk about the third track, When Peace Like a River.
The song was written as a result of a shipwreck at sea back in the 19th century. This fellow sent this man sent his family ahead to Europe to make their fortune in Europe, and he got a telegram from his wife saying, I alone survive, and all his kids were dead, and she survived the shipwreck. And it broke his heart, and he sat down and wrote the lyrics to this song. And then it was put to music by Philip Bliss, who was a quite prolific man. He wrote the music to it. And ironically, just after he did that, Philip Bliss and his whole family were killed in a train wreck. So there's just this catastrophe that envelops the song. And yet it's a very beautiful, peaceful song.
Yeah.
And the original author of the text and his wife started a new family. They wound up starting a new religion in Africa, of all things. He left his church because his old denomination had told him that his family died in a shipwreck because of his sins, and he would not abide with that, and he left the church on that result. This is every song has this story, and this one goes deeper and deeper the more you dig.
Is there any particular church or faith that if I were a regular attendee, I would recognize all of these pieces?
No. You wouldn't hear all of them in any one church. I would be very surprised if you did. Unless it's maybe a Unitarian church with a very wide congregation who all can bring their favorite hymns from their childhood churches to their new church. You might, but I even doubt that. Almost everything here in this album is American and Protestant of one flavor or another. I didn't really want to go so far into different hymnals to go worldwide into different faiths. I don't have that experience, so I kept it to my bailiwick, so to speak. But there's no one church that would agree with most of these things. There's an old hymn that I had never known until a few years ago called "No, Not One," or sometimes called the Lowly Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all the soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. It was written by an uncommissioned minister from New Jersey. And it was very popular, according to my research, 100 years ago. It was in a lot of hymnals, and then it kind of dropped out. And it's sort of being picked up a little bit more now as a kind of a country gospel song. But one of the verses in it says, it basically says that we all go to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. Will he deny us a place in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. And that's just antithetical to a lot of religions that say, no. Not everyone gets to go to heaven.
Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me.
There's a song here with a title I recognize, but the music I don't. Stand by me.
Stand by me.
Which is not the,
which is not the Ben E. King song. Ben E. King wrote it thinking of this one, though. This is a song by Charles Albert Tindley. And when I first heard this some years ago, I fell in love with this song. And I wondered why I haven't heard this before. And then you go look at who's recorded it. And that list includes Elvis Presley, who was not known to record duds.
Stands out in the list.
Elvis Presley, Ernie Ford, all kinds of people have done this. It's been in both high church and low church. But Charles Albert Tindley was born on a slave plantation. There's some dispute as to whether he was a slave or not, because his mother was free and his father was a slave. And he was born in Maryland, which legally kept all their slaves right up until the 13th Amendment, because they never seceded from the Union. At the end of the Civil War, when the 13th Amendment was ratified, he was freed, and it was no dispute whether he was a teenager then. And he went off to Philadelphia, got a job as a janitor in a Methodist Episcopal church, and did not read or write, and asked some of the church people to teach him how to read and write English, which he did. And when he was done with that, he walked down the street to the Hebrew temple and said, "Is there someone here who could teach me Hebrew?" And he learned Hebrew. From the temple down the street in Philadelphia, which was a good town to be in for that sort of thing. And when that was done, he sent away in the mail order text to learn Greek. and he became a minister by taking the test. He never went to seminary. He took the test and he passed all the rules to become a Methodist Episcopal, which was a certain denomination then that later turned into as part of United Methodist Church. And long story short, he later was the preacher and the head of that same church where he had been the janitor. And they were burgeoning and they built a new church which is now called the Tindley Temple. And it's on the National Registry of Historic Places in Philadelphia to this day. And yet he's largely forgotten as a songwriter. I do two of his songs on this album.
So in addition to all the languages, he wrote music?
Yeah, and he was also a songwriter and an early civil rights leader. He got his head busted in protesting Birth of a Nation back in 100 years ago. Yeah. And he lived to be an old man. He was a very strong, robust person in his physical life, and he wrote a lot of songs. Among them was a little thing called I'll Be All Right Someday, which morphed into We Shall Overcome Someday. So he was part of the genesis of how that kind of folk song came about. And a number of others that are included in all kinds of hymnals. Stand By Me is in many of them, as is We'll Understand It Better By and By, which is the full proper text. Some people just call it By and By.
By and by, when that morning comes, when all the saints of God have gathered home, we're going to tell our stories of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Say by and by, by and by. When all the saints of God are gathered home, we're going to tell our stories of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by. Temptation and its snares may take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for a thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
This is Let's Hear It, and I'm speaking with the versatile Joel Maybus about his latest album, Different Hymnals, on which you play two works by the Reverend Charles Albert Tindley, who I think might have liked your reworking of the song God Don't Like It, I Don't Either.
That you will not find in any hymnal. The old song with that chorus, God Don't Like It, I Don't Either, generally talked about people in the church drinking too much moonshine. And I wrote these lyrics, almost all of them, quite a while ago.
Some people get religion, they're shouting glory, hallelujah, and they think that that gives them the right to tell everybody what to do. I tell you, God don't like it. God don't like it. I don't either. God don't like it. It's a scandal and a shame. If God don't like it,
God don't like it, and I don't either. And there, I've written some topical verses to that I did not include because I thought, well, let's just leave well enough alone. It's enough of a tirade as it is. I don't need to go pointing fingers at any personalities.
Yeah. Well, it's the saltiest and most. Righteous, maybe, that this album gets.
Yeah, I call it, my word for it is a Jeremiad, which is, the book of Jeremiah is all about why that king ought to do this, blah, blah, you're all people, you don't, you know. And that's kind of an old-fashioned word for a taken to the woodshed type of sermon or speech. And so this is my Jeremiad here on the album. I don't go there much on this record, but that's the one.
So-called Christian politicians claim the Bible is their guide while they're taking money from the poor to keep the rich man satisfied. Well, God don't like it. God don't like it. I don't either. God don't like it. It's scandal and a shame. Say, God don't like it.
Another song I wanted to point out was one that had a melody I know from listening to Irish music. It's called Star of the County Down, but here it's called Lo Lazarus and Lord Diverus.
It's been around for hundreds of years. This is a song that Charles Dickens would have heard as a lad, which is, it's just really interesting to me because, I mean, he's the guy that gave us the other big Christmas thing of Scrooge, who is talked to by ghosts who come to visit him in the night and change his whole spiritual thing. And the story of Lazarus goes there as well. But the tune, oddly enough, is and was named King's Fold because it was collected by Ralph Vaughan Williams. And he set it down pretty much the way I play it, maybe not with that kind of rhythmic snap that I give it on the guitar. But that's the tune that's called King's Fold. And that, as a hymn tune, that appears in the Anglican hymnal three or four times with different texts. And then in the early 20th century, someone played it in waltz time and put the lyric, The Star of the County Down, and started as a song. And some people still sing it, but most people just play it as a waltz. And it's very associated with being County Down. Then it becomes Irish. And that's where I first learned it. I first heard the tune.
Sure.
was as a beautiful waltz. Even though sometimes it would be printed in mimeographed things as Star of the County Town, which I've seen. I said, no, it's County Down. And we all know it's an old Irish tune. Well, it's actually from an English town, like the town of Kingsford. Hell is dark and hell is deep, but the road that will take you there is gentle and wide and the carriage is fine. So I bid you all beware. My carol, it is ending now. Just one more thing to say. God bless us all, both great and small. And have a happy Christmas day.
Also found a unique quality of this album is that it does urge you to sing whether you know the tune or not. You pick it up real fast, and then you're just kind of humming along. It's
very tuneful. These tunes are very tuneful, that's for sure.
And it's congregational singing, so you have that sort of memory, or you know, that feeling of like, oh, it's okay, I can just open my mouth and sing.
Yeah. That's a great thing that congregational singing does for people. And it doesn't have to be in a church setting, but group singing in general, where you can get lost in the crowd a little bit. You don't have to have the perfect voice, but you get to sing along. You open up your throat and sing along, which is something I've been part of these last 15 years or so. And the singing festival up in Lansing that I've been part of, and other places as well, where you get together and just sing good songs. You know, it could be an old Disney movie song, or an old church song, or a rock and roll song, or whatever. If it's something that is singable by a bunch of people without having special talents, you know, you don't have to have the 2-octave range to do a song. And I know a lot of people, and I used to be one of them, would think, oh, what a cornball thing to do, you know, get together with a big old sing-along. But it's a wonderful experience. It's You know, Pete Seeger would be proud of us when we get together and sing like that. His quote was something like, whether it's singing in a shower or in your car or in a bar or in a church or in a glee club, just open up your throat and do it. You'll live longer. And he lived to be, what, 93 years old, so I guess he knows. Just open up your voice and sing it. It's a human thing to do, is to sing, and I encourage people to do it, whether they think they're good at it or not. The more you do it, the better you'll get at it, that's for sure.
So the new album is available through your website, joelmavis.com?
Yes, it is. I've been selling them rather nicely through the mail. JoelMavis.com has all of the particulars, and you can buy them directly from me that way. And I'm pretty good about getting them right in the mail at a decent price. There's a few stores that still exist in this world that carry it, but it's hard. The brick and mortar stores are hard to find that carry everything enough that they would also have my stuff. There's a few. And then I sell them at my concerts, especially the ones that are a so-called CD release.
Joel, thank you for stopping by and
previewing. Thank you, Kara. Thank you for having me in.
Bless the hand that plants the seed. Bless the back that pulls the weed. Bless the folks that pick the crops, the boys, the girls, the moms, the pops, and bless the trucks and the truckers too, that bring it home to me and you. Bless the cook that bakes it brown. Bless these hands that pass it round. Bless our host and bless our feast. Bless the most and bless the least. We ask the one to whom we pray. Bless us all this blessed day.
Joel Mabus's new album, Different Hymnals, will be available at his CD release concert. It's scheduled for Saturday, September 23rd at First Baptist Church of downtown Kalamazoo. You can find this album and over two dozen more at his website, joelmabus.com. This is Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Kara LaRance, and if you're feeling blessed enough to be able to become a supporter of your public radio station, WMUK, I encourage you to do so at our website, wmuk.org. And thanks.